This is Karen Lyle of Salesport Talk, and one of the things I really love about being a host of Salesport Talk is being able to travel to different parts of the world. Now, this is the pandemic, so travel has been restricted, but I want to go back and visit a conversation that I had in October of 2019 when I was in Malta. And I am in the Rolex Middle Sea Race talking with Pavel Savelko. You are from Russia, and you just competed with your boat Mirabel in the Rolex Middle Sea Race. Can you tell us a little bit about sailing in Russia on the Black Sea?
Sailing in the Black Sea is very interesting. I started sailing when I was really young. And my parents live in a small city, Anapa. And in this place, we have interesting weather condition for sailing. It's one of the best places for sailing. In Russia, have many competition in this place. In one day, we have the strong wind with the wave. Another day, you have waves, but light wind. Another day, you have strong wind without waves. And every day, we can expect different weather condition. It's very nice for training, for sailing, and but the city is this, and not so much people in Russia in this, and also in this city sailing, not too much sailors in Russia, and around 15 guys who start sailing in this city, but 10 of this guy was in Russian national team. Three people was in Olympic Games, and three people world champions, and everybody Russian champions in this place. It's a really nice place for sailing in our country.
And you just competed in the Fastnet race as well.
This boat live all time in the Mediterranean. Our base for our boat in the middle of Sicily, it's a city, Licata. It's easy for delivery boat to Rolex competition in Europe. We just delivery boat to north of the Mediterranean for summertime, and the end of the season we come back and very close from Sicily to Malta. And after we have a plan go back to Sicily for winter time for preparing boat for the next season.
And tell us about Rosatom.
Rosatom, it's a nuclear company. It's our sponsor. This company built the power machine for electricity in all the world.
Thank you very much for being on our show, and I appreciate you talking to us. This is Karen Lyle, Salesport Talk.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
All right, thank you so much, and welcome back to the show. Rick Tittle with you, coast to coast, around the globe on American Forces Radio Network, 9:40 on a Tuesday morning. As always, SalesportTalk.com, and co-hosting the segment with me is Karen Lyle, who is in studio today. Good to see you, Karen.
Good to see you, Rick. You know, I had a fun experience on Saturday. I was taking a taxi from down the Embarcadero, and I met one of the people who calls in on your show.
Oh, really?
And he's actually met you, and he's both a Giants fan and an A's fan.
Oh, okay.
And we had a great talk along the way, and I thought, what a small world.
Oh, huh? Was it Will Clark?
No, it wasn't Will
okay.
Clark.
let's bring in our guest, our friend Taylor Canfield from the St. Thomas Yacht Club and USA Racing, and this is his third time on the show. And Taylor, they say that the third date is love, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, thanks, Rick. Thanks, Karen, for having me. No, I really appreciate it. You know, I love what you guys do, and happy to be here.
Well, speaking of that, Taylor, actually, you just won your fifth Congressional Cup, making you the winningest skipper. What do you do with all those crimson jackets? Do you wear them in layers, or do you, like, change them every hour?
Yeah. Well, no, it's great. You know, it's obviously an incredible week in Long Beach, as it always is, and Long Beach Yacht Club puts on a great event, and yeah, it's great to have a collection of these red blazers now. So yeah, the closet's filling up, but yeah, hopefully start giving them to the team starting starting here on out. So I think a few of them would be excited to get a few Blazers. I don't know if that's in the rules or not, that they can get them, but I think that's in the cards for us next.
Taylor, how was it for you in the last, year and a half? It was all different for us, obviously, and sailing was one of those pursuits that you could do to a certain extent, but did you ever just sit down and kind of like take a deep dive into how you approach your sailing and some of those long hours when we were, stuck in front of Netflix all those nights?
Yeah, it was definitely a bit of a struggle. COVID definitely put the world on hold and also our industry on hold. So, luckily, as you mentioned, the industry did continue on and only took a couple months off and people were eager to get back on the water. So, it worked out really well, and I think a lot of people started to sail some smaller boats that, you didn't have a big crew behind you, just to try to keep the numbers and exposure, amounts down. But yeah, there was definitely a bit of downtime, but, didn't really rest for my partner Mike Buckley and I. We've been, busy working on the Stars and Stripes project for several years now, and, that didn't slow down. The grind kept going throughout the, throughout the pandemic.
I got an email from you talking about the U.S. One team. So tell me, you have the Stars and Stripes team and the U.S. One team. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, so U.S. One originated with a buddy of mine back in 2012, and that was the team that we were competing on the World Match Racing Tour with, and then got involved in the M32 catamaran fleet. Unfortunately, US One is gone dormant for the time being to make some more room for the Stars and Stripes team, which Mike Buckley and myself started, 4 years ago now, campaigning for the last America's Cup, and unfortunately didn't make it to the start line. But the team pushes on, and really excited about challenging for this 37th America's Cup.
What would you think has been, because every time we see Sail GP and we've got the boats basically above the water, how is it for you when you have these different disciplines and you think about the boats, the smaller boats that are used in the Olympics? It's sort of like in tennis, some people are good on clay, some people are good on grass, some people are good on, composite surface. What is it for you? Where are you most comfortable, and maybe what discipline do you still work at?
Yeah, it is a bit tricky, lately I've been sailing all sorts of boats, boats that do, 5.5 knots upwind, boats that do 35 knots upwind. So it is a big change jumping from one to the other. And actually just before Congressional Cup, I was oversailing with the SailGP team in Saint-Tropez, France. So, and before that, I was back in California sailing, the Congressional Cup Catalina 37. So it is a big change. But, I like to just pride myself on being an all-arounder and working hard in any boat I get in on the water. I think the best sailors in the world can hop into a lot of boats and make things work and figure out what they need to do to make that boat, go faster, whatever their role is on the boat to make good decisions around the race course or what. So, I think I just credit, successes to just spending as much time in the water as I can.
And I guess,
no matter what the boat is.
Yeah. But as a follow-up, when you were with United States Sail GP, I love your position, flight coordinator. I don't usually hear that about boats.
Yeah, for sure. Well, flight controller, I believe they call it.
Oh, flight controller. Same thing. Crazy.
Yeah, yeah. My role with the LGP, I guess that was 2019, was season one. And then, unfortunately, due to the pandemic, season two got postponed until this year. We did that one event in Sydney, beginning of the year, and then, everything went on pause. But, I've been fortunate to get a call up from, two different teams this year to fill in for a few different spots on the boat. So I did flight controller position for the Spanish team in Plymouth in the UK, and then was invited back to the U.S. team to fill in for Rome Kirby on the U.S. team in Saint-Tropez. So, obviously great experiences and awesome time sailing with both teams. And it's interesting to see the different styles of the team, though. And my role, varied a little bit from team to team based on, how they set up all the operations on board.
Taylor, speaking of Rome Kirby, and also Mac Ignacy, who you've sailed with on the SailGP, they were the first ones on our show back in I think it was April 4th, 2019. And you followed shortly thereafter, I think around April 9th, you were one of those. But you haven't signed our wall yet. You know, we have this celebrity wall of signatures, and we really need you out here in San Francisco to sign that wall, I think.
No, for sure. I'll make it out there at some point. Oh, that's, you know, I always, you know, look forward to my next trip to San Francisco. So I'm looking for that opportunity to get back out there and do some more sailing on the bay, that's for sure.
Taylor is, you know, native of the Bay Area. You know, I grew up here and I kind of took it for granted until I traveled around the United States and the world and realized it's pretty nice out here. For you, coming from the Virgin Islands, did you kind of take it for granted and then you went around and say, wow, I didn't realize I was basically in living on heaven on earth that whole time?
Yeah, for sure. I'm super lucky to have grown up in the islands. You know, the trade winds 18 to 20 knots every day and, you know, nearly 80 plus degrees. So, yeah, it's, but, you know, just sailing around the world, you kind of run into a little bit of everything as far as weather goes and temperatures. And, you know, just found myself over in Switzerland, you know, sailing in the rain and the cold. And, you know, San Francisco Bay can definitely bring some of the most intense sailing conditions I've sailed in. So, you know, with the, not only is it a little bit chilly, but, you know, the waves and the wind on the city front is like no other. But you know, I don't think there's anything like it sailing right underneath, you know, the Golden Gate Bridge in front of Alcatraz and 18 to 20 knots, you know, having 50 knots of apparent wind going upwind in the F-50s on SailGP circuit. Yeah, that's something that I'll never forget, that's for sure.
Well, it's a typical day here with that wind coming through the slot, usually 15 to 25 knots every afternoon from April through October. It's starting to change now going north-northeast, but and a little bit lower as we get into the winter. But you can't really, you can't underestimate warm weather, you know, and warm water, because I was just sailing in that St. Thomas and around St. John in July, and I wonder, with that wonderful location there in the Caribbean, do you go back and just cruise around just for fun when you're on your off time, or are you all racing all the time?
Oh man, I wish I could say I get to spend more time cruising through the crystal clear blue waters of the Caribbean. Unfortunately, haven't had an opportunity to in a while, but actually, since you mentioned it, heading back down there this weekend, just to both visit some family and hopefully I'll get some time to, you know, just go for a casual cruise and really enjoy the waters that I grew up on.
And last question for you, Taylor. I always wondered this about someone as accomplished as you, monohull, multi-hull, whatever. What would be your ultimate boat? Like, I could just say, look, I'm a billionaire and I'm going to give you whatever you want. Would you go for like the luxurious yacht? Would you go for a big sail ship? But what would be your dream boat?
Oh my, that's a pretty tough question for me, given all the boats I've, you know, luckily had the chance to sail. But yeah, you know, I think I'm always going to be into the competitive racing side of things. You know, I love the one design aspect of sailing. I love, you know, when it comes down to really challenging, you know, the best sailors in the world with, you know, not much of a difference in the equipment that we're using. So, you know, just to have done the J70 Worlds with Skipper Laura Grandin this year, you know, it's incredible just having all the J70s on the same start line and out in California and Marina Del Rey. And, you know, not to say that I would choose a J70, but I would definitely choose something that, you know, it comes down to let the best sailors win on the water.
It's Taylor Canfield, one of the best sailors in the world, and of course the co-founder of the All-American Sailing Team Stars and Stripes out of the St. Thomas Yacht Club there in the U.S. Virgin Islands. Taylor, thanks for coming on again, and thanks for your insights, buddy.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Rick, and thanks, Karen. Appreciate
it's great.
It. And,
great to have you, Taylor.
Hopefully to catch up soon. Yeah. Well, I'll try to come visit you guys out in San Francisco.
I'm looking forward to it.
That would be great. And so, Karen, you know, it's funny because we're so used to San Francisco Bay, and we know it's not crystal clear, glassy waters. But for you, when you go out on the bay, do you kind of like put your game face on and think, okay, this is going to be tough? Or it's just like, eh, it's just the bay, whatever.
I never take the bay for granted. It's a challenging sail, and it's one of the reasons why so many sailors come here from around the world is you just never know. And I would say that when I go on a typical sail, if I'm out there for, say, 8 hours, the wind's going to change from something, you know, 0 to 5 knots to 15 pushing 25 with gusts up to 30 in that same day. I mean, just within hours. And you can see the wind coming over the bay. I'm sailing out of Berkeley usually, and then I come up here and go out the Golden Gate. But you can look down the slot, which is the distance from the Berkeley Yacht Club out to the Golden Gate, and you can just see the wind fill in. And it just comes in ripples, and you can see it coming towards you when it's lulled. But you just can't take it for granted. I mean, people do die here if they don't pay attention to those things. So you never, never, never take the wind or the water for granted.
Just have about 30 seconds. When you go out the Golden Gate, is there kind of a feeling of like, yikes, I'm getting into the Pacific Ocean here?
It's, wow, I love it. That's my response. The feeling of the ocean is so different from the bay. You can just tell immediately as you go over that line underneath the bridge, because the water's so much deeper and you've got all the different swells and things happening. But I love the ocean. I really do.
There she is, Karen Lyle, SailSportsTalk.com. Thanks for coming in.
Good to see you, Rick.
Good to see you. All right, we'll take a quick break. Come on back, y'all.